Finally, some long-awaited details on Brexit. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. UK Prime Minister Theresa May is at this moment giving a speech on the future of Brexit and how the UK will position itself in negotiations with the European Union. There had been speculation over whether the UK would try to keep some benefits of EU membership, but it looks now like the Prime Minister wants a pretty hard break. Earlier, I spoke to the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, about what we can expect. So what does the world want to hear from Ms. May today?
Well, as you say, some specifics really about exactly what her negotiating objectives are going to be. People would like to know more about just what ambitions she has in terms of retaining barrier-free access to the European Union's market for British exporters. And also exactly what she would like to have by way of controls over the free movement of labour, and that there should be no jurisdiction in the UK for the European Union's Court of Justice.
You know, it does seem like the UK has a big decision between two interests. One, it wants to limit immigration into the UK from Europe and elsewhere. Two, it wants access to the European market. But it can't have both. Can you explain to folks why?
European Union leaders are aware that there are anti-EU political forces in many member states, and that includes some of the oldest, biggest ones, France, Italy, for example. And I think that one of the messages that they want to send to those political forces is that you can't pick and choose the bits of the European Union deal that you want to have and discard the ones that you don't much care for.
Do you have any idea as to what the Prime Minister will say?
There's been an awful lot in the newspapers, which do tend to point towards her being willing to accept that the UK would leave both the single market and the European Union customs union. But it certainly is broadly consistent with the general objectives that she set out at the Conservative Party conference in the fall. And the point being there that for those political reasons I've described, it's very hard to get control over immigration from the rest of Europe and reject the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice and at the same time maintain full unimpeded access to the European Union market for your exporters.
All right, the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Sabri.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.41%. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the half percent range, with the Dow future down about 100 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down, again, at 2.32%. The U.S. Mint turns 225 years old this year. The exact birthday is April 2nd, when back in 1792, the Mint Act was passed. To commemorate the moment, the Mint is releasing a series of $100 gold coins. On one side is a soaring eagle, and on the other, Lady Liberty. And in a first for U.S. currency, this symbol of liberty will be depicted as an African-American woman. Rhett Jepson is the acting director of the U.S. Mint. I talked to him about the thinking behind that.
In our very first coins, we had a female figure representing liberty. And so through the years, we've had liberty represented always as the feminine in a lot of different forms. And so this is just a more modern, inclusive interpretation of liberty. We've had a lot of comments saying, well, liberty is depicted as in the Statue of Liberty. And we've depicted liberty over the course of, 225 years in a lot of different forms, not just what's on the Statue of Liberty. That's actually, quite frankly, a later interpretation of what liberty looked like, allegorical liberty, that is.
These are $100 coins. They weigh about an ounce. They're not solid gold, are they? Because that would make them worth like $1,200.
They are solid gold. It is 1 ounce of 24 karat gold. And so they will, in fact, sell for about $1,500. There's a premium. The value of the coins is not based so much on the denomination that we put on the coin, but rather, the uniqueness of the design, the quality of the strike, and the content of the metal. And it trades far beyond whatever the face value of the coin is.
The Treasury spends more to make certain coins like pennies than they're actually worth. In this case, it sounds like it's quite the opposite. Is the Mint actually making money on its money in this case?
We actually make three types of coins here at the Mint. We make circulating coins. That's the stuff you have in your pocket every day. We make numismatic or collectible coins. And then we make bullion coin, which is an investable coin. We still return money on all three of those lines to Treasury every year. We're a non-appropriated agency. We operate on the revenue that we generate, and we return the excess or the profit back to our shareholders, which is the Department of Treasury. And so over the past 2 years, we've returned well over $1.2 billion to Treasury. So not a bad return for an organization of 1,700 people. So we're very, very proud of that.
You could technically use this coin in a store to buy something for $100, but that would be very stupid, right?
That's right. You that would probably not be the wisest use of it. But it does have a base value of $100. So I guess if gold ever went below $100 an ounce, you may want to do that.
All right. Well, Rhett Jepson, acting director of the U.S. Mint, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
British American Tobacco, maker of Dunhill and Lucky Strike cigarettes, among others, has made a deal to buy U.S. rival Reynolds, which makes Camels and Newports. Price tag, $49.5 billion. The offer was originally rejected, so British American had to add $2 billion more dollars to sweeten the deal. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Ben Tolliday. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.